And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we are joined by our Thursday friend. The Rant Revival can't be the Rant Revival without him, Gordon Keefe.
Hell yeah, what's happening? Hard line.
There he is from his bathtub inside his hotel room. You taking
I'm
a bath, Gordon?
Looking the practice field as we speak, and nothing is going on out there right now.
That's beautiful.
Crank up old Gordo if you can.
Little more Gordo if we can, but we should also step down for this.
Entertainment news for you.
Which is brought to you by
All Pro Foundation Repair.
And ladies and gentlemen, here he is.
Bestiality and infant porn.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what we're covering here today, unfortunately, for Gordon. We do have a couple of notes about Sinead O'Connor, who, of course, died yesterday. So, officers in South London received reports of an unresponsive woman at 11:18 a.m. local time on Wednesday. And that's where they found her. And they say the death is not being treated as suspicious. However, they have ordered an autopsy to be conducted, because her cause of death has not been yet provided. She died at the age of 56, so a London court has confirmed that they have notified the coroner on Wednesday, and because no immediate cause of death was given, they are asking for an autopsy to be conducted, and they may not have the results for several weeks, but they are looking into it. Even though they say it doesn't look like there was foul play or necessarily suicide, which everybody jumped to.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Meanwhile,
what the heck?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I was trying to sing Mandinga yesterday.
She couldn't
really remember how it went.
She was in studio with us a while back.
Meanwhile, you know, there's been a lot of tributes to Sinead O'Connor, which is counter to her media profile of recent years. And what do you know, but our old friend Morrissey has weighed in on the subject.
Of course.
Okay.
He wrote a blog post after her death, and he said, "There is a certain music industry hatred for singers who don't fit in, and they are never praised until death, when finally they can't answer back. The cruel playpen of fame gushes with praise for Sinead today, with the usual moronic labels of icon and legend. You praise her now only because it's too late. You hadn't the guts to support her when she was alive and she was looking for you. The press would call her sad, fat, shocking, insane, but not today." He's kind of right.
Yeah. I mean,
and I know that everyone's against Morrissey now. At least he's a very controversial figure. Even with the youths, you know, the Smiths still have a long tail with the young people, even.
Yep.
But yeah. I mean, he's exactly right, and his wording it's well worded and well put, and the idea, I believe, is correct.
Yeah, it is sad. We'll get into her next, Gordon, because I have a full on the night of how it went down with the Pope and not their relationship together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well,
their one night stand. No, Gordon. No,
Gordon.
Just because you're in California, you can't really say that.
She went down to the London area,
uh-huh.
And that's where she had moved.
Okay.
Right.
Way to get out of it.
Uh-huh.
That's next.
Yes. Speaking of religion, The Righteous Gemstones has been renewed for a season 4 on HBO. The finale of season 3 is going to be this Sunday on HBO. And this third season...
Wow, they've already hit the finale.
Yeah, the third season is averaging 4.9 million viewers per episode, which is kind of the biggest hit for Danny McBride as far as his HBO shows. Eastbound and Down and Vice Principals, they did similar numbers, but not as good as Righteous Gemstones.
A little more niche-y, and yeah, this took off immediately. And they've got a lot more money to spend now. Their budget is, I think I read, quadrupled what it was in season 1. You know, they can kind of do whatever they want. And David Gordon Green Speaking of Richardson High School, right here,
Richardson,
part of that crew. And if we can see more of Baby Billy's Bible Bonkers, I am all for seasons 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. Is there's no word yet whether in season 4, within the season 4 of the Righteous Gemstone show, whether or not Baby Billy Bible Bonkers will be green lit on the show.
Do you watch this, Gordon?
You know, I've watched the first 2 seasons. I have not watched any of the 3rd season yet, but it's not intentional that I haven't watched it. Because I think it's great. And Danny McBride is just right in my wheelhouse. That voice of his, that bravado, just everything about that guy is just funny to me.
Walton Goggins is...
Oh, and Walton Goggins, I mean, good Lord. That guy's the star of the show to me.
Yeah, he's so brilliant.
He talks just like people that I grew up listening to.
Yeah, he's so awesome. You know, there was one time at the Super Bowl, like in 2005 or 6, whenever the Shield was making its run, where they all came and hung out with us one night. And this was separate from the golf outing that we had with the Shield cast. And Walton Goggins, they kept saying, they're like, show him, just show him. And we're like sitting in a bar and the crew is like just busting his ass. Like, you got to show him, you got to show him. He's like, all right, I'll show you. He gets up, and it was just like in Step Brothers. He pulls his shirt up, and he's just got this 12-pack, you know? He's like, get a load of these babies.
Did he pop his teeth big out over, for you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oversized choppers of his.
Yeah.
And his, the
those
wig,
are fake, right?
The wig that he wears is so good.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, he is the best part of that show. They have set an official release date for The Iron Claw, which is the story of the Von Erich family.
Man, I think that this is going to get a lot more buzz.
Because of the bear.
Because of the bear. Jeremy Allen White, the star of The Bear, is one of the Von Erich brothers. Is he Corey or Cody or?
No, that's
he's
Dude
Carrie.
Perfect.
Oh, okay.
I've gotta watch that bear.
Oh my God, Gordon.
Bear. I know, I hear it's great.
He would absolutely fall
he's
in
great
love
at
with
picking games.
So quick. Not that bear, Tom. Different bear.
I like Rutgers.
It's so up your alley. It's uncomfortable. It's tense. It's really, really funny. It's so smart. And season 2 is just a joy.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
Jeremy Allen White plays Carrie Von Erich. Zac Efron plays Kevin Von Erich. And it's, of course, based on the true story and the Von Erich curse that followed them. So it's going to be put out by A24 with a nationwide debut on December 22nd, so right before Christmas. And it's going to go up against Aquaman's sequel. It's going to go against a musical adaptation of The Color Purple.
Yeah.
There's also some new... animated comedy called Migration that's going to come out around Christmas. So it's going to have some stout competition. But they released a new picture of the Von Erich brothers today, and they look really, really good.
They're all jacked.
Yeah, and Jeremy Allen White has said that he gained 40 pounds of muscle for the role.
God.
See, that's what I need. I need to get cast in a role that makes me gain 40 pounds of muscle.
Like chefs.
Same.
Workout guys, yeah, you got physios, trainers left and right. Everybody is monitoring everything that you do every day.
Yeah, my problem is that I'm in control of my food and my workout schedule.
Yeah, but you don't have an accountability partner.
Right.
You should get one.
You know what your accountability partner is if you're cast in something like that? That it's the $20 million paycheck. That's your accountability partner.
Right, yeah, when you show up for the first day of shooting and you look exactly the same as you did 6 months ago, right. Like, what have you been doing?
I got behind, sorry.
I was doing some writing, I just lost track of time.
I was stress eating, I had a lot going on at work, I'm sorry.
I could suck it in, though.
We're going to change you to King Kong Bundy. You're not Kevin Von Erich
right,
anymore.
Yeah,
CGI can fix it, right?
Yeah, you guys can fix it in post, can't you?
Just wear one of those shirts with the six-pack on it, right?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of movie CGI, we talked about the Wonka trailer earlier
looks
this
awesome,
week,
man.
Or maybe end of last week. Can't remember what it was. And the reveal that Hugh Grant is the leader of the Oompa Loompas.
I'm a midget.
It looks legit. Like the trailer, he's in a little glass dome in the trailer, but it looks, it doesn't look fake.
Right.
It looks real.
Yeah, it's a really good job of CGI. Well, so there's a British actor named George Coppin. And he happens to be an actor with dwarfism. He played Sweet Cupid in a Netflix show called The School for Good and Evil. And he's also been in Willow and Artemis Fowl, a couple of other dwarf-heavy casting shows.
Isn't Jerry his spokesperson?
What?
Jerry Jones? Yeah. Is the, yeah, George Coppins.
Yeah.
A Lacewell? So,
wait, aren't there two different kinds of littleism, dwarfism? I'm not sure. One of them's dwarfism and one of them's a different kind.
I think little people are proportional. Dwarfism have, like, disproportionate.
What's Vern Troyer? Or what was Vern Troyer?
I think he was a little person.
Dead?
He's dead. He's dead. What about Peter Dinklage?
There's actually a third category.
He has dwarfism, I believe.
He does?
I don't know. I have no idea.
But okay. But Davey's right, and then it has something to do with the proportionality.
Right.
Like the two different categories, that's the distinguishing thing.
Like the shape of their head, the shape of their extremities, the proportion of their body.
Yeah, I don't see people like that, Dave.
This is what medical people classify them as.
Well, you're medical people, not
They're
mine.
Classified as people.
Yes.
Same
so,
as you and me, Dave.
So not George Coppin, he said that a lot of actors with dwarfism feel like we're being pushed out of the industry we love. A lot of people, myself included, argue that dwarves should be offered everyday roles in dramas and soaps, but we're not getting offered those roles, and now they're forgetting them when it comes to casting actual dwarves.
Dude, that is kind of sorry. Like, how many roles are there out there for smallish people, and you cast 6'4" Hugh Grant in the role?
Yeah,
well,
so
there's as many roles for smallish people as there are roles for anyone else, Scorby, because this guy's point is that they should be cast people where maybe the character is not even doesn't even have dwarfism.
My least favorite thing of my life is working with you. I just want to let you know that.
Right. His backbending to deflect every argument you make.
What,
right.
Corby?
No.
I mean,
I'm going to be on the right side of history, and you guys are not.
So Hugh Grant's Oompa Loompa is supposed to be 20 inches tall. The average height of an adult with dwarfism is 58 inches.
20 inches?
Yeah.
Oh.
So
yeah,
they're...
So they would have to be CGI'd too, so.
Yeah, these Oompa Loompas are actually smaller than.
Maybe that's how they got
past
out of it.
Oompa Loompas.
Like, we couldn't find anyone 20 inches,
yes.
And so we just found
right.
whoever
so
we wanted.
So we opened it up to everyone.
Yeah, we got Sylvester Stallone.
In Peter the 71 Mayhew. Adaptation, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the Johnny Depp one in 2005, those Oompa Loompas were all played by actors with dwarfism. So this is the first time that a non-dwarfism actor
yes
is portraying an Oompa Loompa.
Did Peter Dinklage get the phone call?
I don't know.
Yes, he gets every phone call for a little person. He's the biggest star.
He's the biggest
he's
little person
be
out
the
there.
Biggest little person out there, exactly.
Ever. More so than Billy
Barty. He's
the
biggest little person ever.
All right, coming up next, we have the story of Sinead O'Connor going down.
No, it's you're wrong on every front here.
Because you do that with both, right?
Sinead O'Connor and the Pope, the night that changed everything, next.
Tim K.